65,498 square miles. We've got a lot to cover, so let's get to it. Broadcasting live from Media Row at the Panther Arena, inside the RNC, WTMJ, at the Republican National Convention. This is Spatting the State. Here are your hosts, Brian Noonan and Kristen Bry.
Good afternoon. We are here for one final day. It's the final countdown, they might say, Brian.
And it would be correct because it seems like as much work and as much time as it's taken, it's gone pretty fast. And now today is it.
It's it. What's your energy levels today?
Over 50%. Not a lot. I'm still majority powered up, if I'm going to be honest.
Okay. Have you made a decision if you're going to stay until the very end tonight to hear Donald Trump speak?
I don't know, because here's the thing. At home, if I'm watching the speech, I can run to the bathroom.
That's a good point.
It gets very tonight in Fiserv is going to be, rightfully so, a zoo. It's going to be packed to the gills.
Yes.
I don't do very well in packed houses.
Okay.
So I haven't decided though.
I have a 10-minute commute home.
Yes, I have about an hour and 30.
Yes, my commute is a little easier for me to stay home and then go home.
Plus, somebody I know is not going to be in tomorrow, and I have to work by myself, so
that's
I got to be in there, you know.
That's true. You are carrying the load for us tomorrow, but which I appreciate.
Yes. It's going to be – today's going to be exciting. I have one goal. I don't want to speak it out loud and jinx it, but I have one goal for today.
Okay.
So
– are you for the show or for the day?
Well, it's – it's for the show primarily. If not, I'll have to bump it down. So, after three, the goal will remain the same.
Will you tell us at the end of the show, or are you just teasing everyone?
No, I'll tell you. If it doesn't happen during the show, I will tell you at the end of the show.
All right.
What do we got today?
What do we got today? So we are going to be talking to David Crowley, Milwaukee County Executive, Peggy Williams-Smith, President CEO of Visit Milwaukee. I feel like the theme of today is like, how did it go?
Right. And how did it affect the city? And what are you hearing?
And I think
what's the feedback?
Exactly. And especially, and then actually Barry Burden, professor of political science at UW-Madison and founding director of the Elections Research Center. Because I think a lot of this is like, it's one thing of how does it affect the city financially, but also how does this impact that thing that we have this fall called an election?
Exactly. Well, let's talk to the woman who put this all together. She was in charge of getting everything set for the Republican National Convention.
Yes. When we come back from this, Allison Prangy is going to be here. She is the COO of the nonpartisan Milwaukee 2024 host committee. So we're going to get her impression. And if she has one word to describe how she's feeling right now, maybe she'll have it for us. This is Spanning the State. We'll be right back.
It is Spanning the State live from Media Row in the UW Panther Arena at the Republican National Convention. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I am Kristen Bry. And today we're trying to do our recaps. How did the week go? Talk to people who have been heavily involved since the very beginning. And no better person to start with than Allison Prangy, who is the CEO of the Milwaukee 2024 Host Committee. Allison, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And I guess my first question, hopefully is an easy one. What is your overwhelming, if you have one feeling to say of how you're feeling today at the almost the end of the week, what is it?
Not exhaustion.
Okay.
Just, I'm proud. Pride. I'm proud of our city, proud of Milwaukee, proud of what everybody that has worked on this for so long, whether it's the host committee team, the RNC's committee on arrangements, everybody, you know, the work you can see that we've done come to fruition is awesome.
Well, I'm sure during all that hard work, there were hurdles and stumbles. Was there one that you approached and you went, once we get over this one, it's going to be smooth sailing, only to get to the other side and go, no, the sailing isn't always smooth.
There's always things that change, and you can see from everything going on around Milwaukee, there it's a fluid situation because there's so many people involved. You've got motorcades, you've got a lot of, you know, our elected leaders in the country are here, our local leaders are here, and you just have to be ready, and I think that's the thing. Our teams have been flexible. We've been able to, you know, react if we need to react, and most of the time, proactively.
What has been the hardest thing, I don't know, to pull off, or like the biggest, like, pushing yourselves as far as like when it was first pitched of an idea, and then you're like, that's too big, that's too much, and is there anything that was pitched that you're like, all right, we pulled it off?
Well, the welcome party that we threw on,
Sunday night. We interviewed David Caruso,
It was amazing. We had a great local team with David Caruso, Magic Productions, Mike Durkin, our team. We brought, national music acts, the showcase of Milwaukee foods. That was huge. It's a huge party. We have a small team. We have, like, this week, it's like 45 people working on our team, but to pull off a party for 15,000, we had Summerfest that we partnered with, Sarah Pancari-Smith. I mean, amazing teamwork that has come together. And, like, go back to that word pride.
Yeah.
Everybody that has stepped forward in Milwaukee, from volunteers to those kinds of events, they've been there and they've had our back because it's so important to make this successful for our city.
Speaking of pride, when you watch the coverage, when you listen to the radio, what is your overall take on how the media is showcasing not only the convention, but Milwaukee as a whole?
I have a confession. I've been so busy.
I thought you might answer that. Because I was like, she probably doesn't have a lot of time to be reading the news this week.
I like look at the headlines. No, I will flip through. I look at your website. I look at just a quick see.
Yeah.
But what I've heard overwhelmingly is that, because people from around the country are texting, which is super fun, and they're saying, oh my gosh, Milwaukee. Yeah. Like, they haven't been here maybe that I know, people that I know, because I originally am from Miami. I confess, I'm a Wisconsinite. I've lived here for 20 years. I'm a Badger. But people are, I think, surprised at the Midwest. And I had somebody show me a text yesterday, and I think I'm allowed to say this. Tucker Carlson texted Ted Kellner and said, why do people go to Chicago? You just come to Milwaukee. And that, like, that's awesome. And
why didn't you tweet it so we could all share it?
That might come still, but I'm breaking that news here.
There you go.
That's great.
When I saw that, that's exactly what we hoped when we started this.
Well, I spoke to a delegate from Alabama yesterday, just piggybacking on that, and he said, we are having such a great time in Milwaukee, because a lot of times we'll go somewhere and when people find out we're from Alabama, they treat us differently. But everybody in Milwaukee has been fantastic.
Hey, we live here. We think it. We know it. I love hearing that, because that was our goal. Again, we wanted people to come here to want to come back. We've talked a lot about that with, you know, with MMAC, with Visit Milwaukee. John Schlifsky's on our board. Like, making this a place for people to know not only that it's a great vacation spot, because it is, but it's a place that you want to work, think about moving your company to, and have fun at, and go to school.
Yeah, and go to school. And one of the things you just said that I want to follow up on, because part of the reason that this has been a success, and I think so far, barring anything crazy happening tonight, it's been a success in a lot of ways. How do you package the fact that there was so much collaboration and coordination? Because not every city, I imagine, where it's the, you know, the Summerfest grounds and Visit Milwaukee and MMAC and the host committee, and there's a lot of different...
And the Brewers.
And the Brewers.
Great.
There's different parties... teams needing to be able to collaborate and coordinate together. And I feel like that is a selling point when we talk about the NBA All-Star Weekend or other things
exactly
that could come to Milwaukee, that we can say it will run smoothly and we can point to this. Is there a way to package that?
Yes. I mean, I think there is. I think that is the next point. And I think one of the things in the back of my mind has been that, and I was talking to Peggy about it, because there was an article I didn't like when they didn't win that this year, and I thought it was unfair because I know this city, and it has really been fun to try to, I love putting pieces together and having the chance to have all of these groups work together, and everyone, again, like I go back to it, has had our back, and Marty Brooks has been amazing. When you look across the business community, it's not partisanship, it's about the city, and it's about making sure that people here, the RNC, it is green. I mean, the mayor says it, it's right, but it's green, and it's about the future. And I think we've talked about that a lot. I was out talking to some businesses yesterday about how things were going. I cleaned out all the cupcakes at one of the bakeries in the public market because it was my birthday, but I was
I
bring things to my office, and I'm like, I got to do something. So I hauled cupcakes in from the public market to the Fiserv Forum last night. And I was it's just fun because there was an energy in there, and it was good to see. And it's not like it's hard when conventions like this are in town. Downtown's empty of a lot of people that work here that normally get their coffee. And so you want to make sure people know we care and that this is also not just this week, it's a long game.
Allison Pranke is our guest. She's the COO of the Milwaukee 2024 Host Committee. Now, you have a background in not only for-profit but non-profit. You've put on all kinds of events. Where does this stack in your pantheon of... career?
We've talked about that. I started on Capitol Hill, which is funny to think so long ago, and now be in the middle of this. This is the biggest thing I've ever had the opportunity to work on. I feel very fortunate to have had that opportunity to do it. And, I mean, it's amazing. And so, again, it goes back to, like, pride in our team, pride in the people that I work with, that we work with in our city. And it is the biggest thing I've had a chance to do. And hoping tonight goes great. And I hope that the RNC is happy when they leave and feel great going out of here.
Do you have any thoughts on what you're going to work on next?
I don't. I have not. Like, I'm looking. I'm excited to read the paper tomorrow because I have not. I love to read like the paper. I like to listen to the news. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm excited to find the next opportunity.
Good. Well, we're excited. We're very. This has been great. I know we've enjoyed ourselves. Everything seems, at least from our vantage point, has been very smooth. So congratulations.
Thank you for saying that. I just appreciate it. And I know we'll look forward to talking to you after it's over to give you an after-action report if you want.
Absolutely.
Although we're done today, we still have to put somebody asked, well, what are you going to do? All of this, the Fiserv Forum, everything has to go back into place.
Yes.
We've got a Bucks National Championship. We've got the NBA World Championship to win. That's maybe right. A World Series. We've got a lot of things ahead in Milwaukee.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks again, Allison.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Allison Prangy is the COO of the 2024 Host Committee, and this is Spanning the State. Who's got it? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no.
I was just going to say, I got another scavenger hunt.
How's the scavenger hunt going, by the way?
Scavenger hunt's going great.
I saw you posted a very special point total that you had, that you've reached. Not a plateau, but a one tier.
One tier. So there is Milwaukee Record. We've talked to Matt Wild from Milwaukee Record before. They sell a shirt that has the clock tower, the famous clock tower in Milwaukee, that the temperature is 69 degrees.
Okay.
And so the shirt is of the clock tower. It says it's 69 degrees. And then just on the side, it says, nice. And so when I hit 69 points last night, in honor of that, I posted that that image. But I have actually, technically, of what's been posted to social media, I have hit 100 points.
Nice.
But that doesn't even include everything that I still need to post. So.
And it goes through when? The end of the night?
What I can capture goes through the end of the night. I'll probably, since I won't be here tomorrow, my day off, I will be posting probably more stuff on social media. But right when we were at break, because I didn't have Wisconsin news folks as a point category.
Okay.
Largely because I felt
everywhere.
Like, well, and also I tried to keep it to people that are in town.
Yeah, that you wouldn't run into.
But then I also had Wisconsin politicians, and our guest after the news is going to be David Crowley, and so he's also usually in town. So I maybe should have had points for local news folks. But I saw Charles Benson yesterday, Sam Kramer from Fox 6, and literally while we were at break, longtime anchor Ted Perry came over specifically just to say, I want to be part of the scavenger hunt. So we got our selfie just now, and then he said, you can give me negative points.
Very nice. Did you see anything else odd yesterday? Or not odd, I shouldn't say odd. Unusual. That's a better answer.
Well, we're going to talk about it later. I did get a chance to have a conversation with...
I know you went on a little window shopping spree.
Yes, so there was... we're going to talk about the things you can buy here now. And I'm trying to gauge... I need to talk to more people who've been to conventions of the past to see... All of the vendor merchandise that is here, is that more of a specific to Trump and Trumpism and MAGA culture? Or is a convention a convention and there's always people there selling wares of some sort? Because obviously, like, DNC, RNC, whatever, you need food inside. So having some food makes sense. But some of the T-shirts and the jewelry and... the book signings and all of those types of vendors, is that normal political convention?
It would be. I've never been to one, but I would be interested to hear. The most unusual thing I saw yesterday, and I got a picture of it, was Lee Greenwood signing Bibles. Because he, of course, was, I was going to say co-authored, but I don't think he and Donald Trump wrote the Bible. I think they just put this one together, and there's some extra things added to it. But Lee was over there signing Bibles, so that was unusual for me. We will talk about all kinds of things that we've seen and done here at the convention and talk to David Crowley after ABC News and local headlines on Spanning the State. It's spanning the state. Our final day at the Republican National Convention. We are on Media Row in the UW Panther Arena. Watching the world go by, I'm Brian Noonan.
And I am Kristen Bry. Indeed, they are doing their dress rehearsal, it looks like, for tonight's big show. As far as we said before, the scoreboard in UWM Panther Arena is airing everything that's happening in Pfizer.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to spoil anything, but certainly
you will be
impressed. There will be a light show.
Yeah.
I'll say that much.
This is not some tent revival that you're going to be going to see tonight.
No.
This is a high budget, high production value convention, and it's not going to. If you are a Republican, you will definitely not be disappointed. If you are a Democrat, you'll watch and you'll say, "Wow, they put a lot into this show."
Yeah, I would say that was. I got home last night before Frankie went to bed, so I saw a lot of the speeches even before J.D. Vance spoke from home. And including the families of the Afghanistan veterans who died. And regardless of politics, I would say the programming was very powerful last night.
Right. Yeah, the World War II vet, and there was, you know, there's a lot of people. And I've said this all week. Everybody I've talked to, delegates, any attendee, everybody's been great. Everybody's doing it. And you got to give it to the RNC. They put on a convention.
Well, we wanted to highlight one of the interviews that one of our teammates, Julia Fellow, was able to grab while here. And so at one of the moments that we've obviously been talking about all week that changed the campaign is the fact that Saturday, which now feels like more than a week ago, but on Saturday, the assassination attempt of Donald Trump, and you've most likely seen the photo, the still image that was taken that erupted across the internet on Saturday.
Embroidered on a woman's dress on Monday.
I did.
That's how fast it went around the world.
And so that picture was uploaded, I think, almost immediately, shared almost immediately. And if you don't know what we're talking about somehow, you can text to see it now. If you text photo to our talk and text line, 855-616-1620, we'll have we'll send you the photo that we're referencing. But Julia Fellow actually got to talk to the photographer who took that photo.
I knew the second that this had started that probably the most important thing I'd ever cover. So I was just trying to do a good job, stay in the moment, keep a level head.
That's chief photographer for the Associated Press, Evan Vucci, who took the photo of former President Donald Trump moments after an assassination attempt. It shows blood streaked across the former president's face, his ear bloodied, and pumping his fist in the air with the American flag behind him. The award-winning photographer shared moment by moment how he ended up taking this photo.
President Trump walked on, and I had my long lens on, and over my left shoulder, I heard several pops.
Take a look at what happened. Over.
I knew immediately it was gunfire, so as I looked through my long lens, I saw Secret Service agents beginning to rush towards the president. I made a few frames of that, and then I ran to the stage, and I got my wide-angle lens, and I just started photographing everything I could.
Today's technology got the photo of Trump's bloodied face published within minutes.
My cameras that are plugged into an Ethernet cable, and it's going to my editors. So I'll take a few photos, and I'll hit a button to send the photos to my desk. By the time President Trump had been put into the SUV, so I had 36 photos out to my desk, and I was just happy that I did the job. You know, you never know how people are going to react to anything that you do.
Former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson believes this photo resembles another moment in history.
And putting his arm in the air and saying, fight, with blood running down, the American flag behind it, that's an iconic photo, just like Iwo Jima.
Vucci, however, believes it is up to each person to take away what they see in the photo of a former president seconds after an assassination attempt.
I can't control how people would react to anything. I was just glad that I was able to do the job.
And this award-winning photographer will be snapping more photos of former President Trump when he takes the stage tonight in Milwaukee. Julia Fellow, WTMJ News.
That was fascinating.
It was fascinating. As far as, especially the fact that he didn't even know that it was already going viral.
Yeah, that's the, you know, I'm old enough to remember when you would have to take film into a dark room and develop it, and it would take forever. And now he's got
to
connect
it. You wouldn't say it until the next day. Yeah, it was printed in the newspaper.
Instantly, it's like, oh, we've got to send this out already.
Yeah.
So that was great. Thank you to Julia for doing that report. We have a special guest coming up after this.
We do. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley will be with us with his big takeaways so far for 3 out of the 4 days. So he will join us after this. It's Spanning the State.
Expanding the State live from the Republican National Convention on Media Row in UW Panther Arena. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I am Kristen Bryan. Sitting to my left is Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, one of the big proponents, proponers? No.
Promoters? Proponents?
No, I don't think you're a proponent. I don't
Propeller?
Think someone who was very adamant and excited that the RNC was coming to Milwaukee. It's been a long 4 days, so my words escape me at the moment. But how are you? This is the first time you've been on this show.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it
well,
is.
Welcome.
Thank you. I hope you're doing all right.
We're doing great. I mean, you know, Brian said earlier he's at about above 50 as far as energy levels.
Okay.
I think I'm a we'll say 65, 75. It's a lot of adrenaline and coffee right now. I will say that.
How about you? You've been here all week. I've seen you upstairs, downstairs. I've seen you in different buildings talking to people. Where's your energy level at this point?
You know what? I have no clue. I may be running on fumes just like everybody else, but honestly, there's a level of excitement, right?
Yes.
I mean, as a Democrat, me being here, the excitement comes from the fact that we have an opportunity to really showcase our entire community, right? Mm-hmm. And I know. But fun fact, I was in Florida over the weekend, so I was coming back home from Tampa, and I'm on a plane. The first thing was like, "Well, all these people come to Milwaukee." Then I remember we were hosting this.
Oh, you had forgotten for a second.
And just on the plane, people had no clue that we had the level of lakefront views. When they seen our nightlife, seen our restaurants, tried the cheese curds for the first time, they fall in love with Milwaukee. But also on the flip side of that, we've had a great opportunity to see all these folks come in, you know, patronize many businesses. I know many businesses haven't been seeing so much foot traffic, so we're trying to figure out ways to get those folks through those doors. But at the end of the day, this is an investment. This wasn't just about this particular week. I look at this as our Super Bowl. This is our championship run, like the Bucks run, right? To where we have all these eyeballs across the world looking at Milwaukee. And so in the future, we can show folks like the NBA that we have the ability to handle an All-Star game, that we can handle, wink, wink, an NBA NFL draft.
Yes, yes,
so,
yes.
You know, those are the things that we have an opportunity to do, and that's what we're taking advantage of.
So we were talking to Allison Prangy earlier in the show, and what was it like as far as, I know in the campaigning to get the RNC to Milwaukee, you and Mayor Johnson were out there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Once it was secured and it was coming, how much say, involvement did the county, I'll say it's for the county because instead of speaking for the city, did the county have versus the committee was just going to do what the committee was going to do?
You know, we don't have no involvement.
Okay,
really.
All right.
Like,
yeah.
You know, people say, well, what are you going to do? What they tell me to do? Because, you know, the Office of Emergency Management were at the table. So our Office of Emergency Management handles a lot of the communication. So when you think about communication radios that all law enforcement has for traffic mitigation, for crowd control, for XYZ, whatever they need, we do that through the Office of Emergency Management. And so really, when you think about this production, because this is a production, right? The Secret Service is pretty much in charge of all safety precautions and protocols, and so we have to follow their lead on anything that they want to do.
When you're out and about now, are you getting feedback from people around the county? What are they saying to you? What's the overall vibe? I know people who are coming into Milwaukee are over the moon.
Oh, absolutely.
What about the people who live here?
I think. I mean, you get mixed results, right? I mean, because we are a Democratic community hosting the RNC, so you know there are a lot of people who are just like vacant and cannot wait for them to leave, but they also recognize the opportunity, right? This is an economic boom, and what's interesting is that not just for Milwaukee, Racine, Waukesha, Ozaukee, you know, Washington, you know, Sheboygan, they're all seeing the economic benefits of this as well, and so there are a lot of folks who absolutely adore the fact that we are hosting something of this size right here. I would tell you particularly the first day, nobody liked the traffic.
Yes.
The traffic was a little crazy, but this is a learning experience. We have been, you know, the mayor and I, we've been building this plane as we fly it. And I know that he has been a lot more immersed into this when you think about all the other city services that he's in charge of that's involved in this. But at the end of the day, this gives us an opportunity to go back and really look at how do we move forward, how do we bring other conventions here, and what do we learn from hosting this huge event.
So one of the big, I feel like people haven't talked about it as much this week, but last year, obviously, one of the biggest new pieces of news for the city and the county is the sales tax.
Yes.
Again, not everyone was a fan, but it happened.
Yes.
Do you have any estimates as far as for the county, what money and revenue the county will get from this week?
We don't. Okay. We don't know exactly. I don't expect to be huge gains when it comes down to the Republican National Convention. Again, you know, this is the first event, and I know, I mean, when you think about these types of events, right? There's so much free food, free booze. A lot of people.
But someone's paying for that at one point, right? Because we're not paying for it. I got a free coffee somewhere in the last couple of days.
You know, so we do expect to see some gains from this, but I don't think it's going to be over the moon to where we're like, come back here in 4 years because we made so much money. So I don't see that necessarily.
Would you want it if the DNC came back? I was like, all right, we screwed it up in 2020. Could we come back? Do you want to do this again in 4 years?
I think that we need a little break. but I will say that, you know, no matter what it is, no matter what convention, no matter what event it is, I think that we are ready to play on the large scale.
What do you think the problem was perception-wise before? Because obviously, Milwaukee has put on their best face. Everything seems to be going well. What do you think the perception was that was making people hesitant to bring events like this to Milwaukee?
Well, I mean, you know, all across this state, Democrat or Republican areas, they've always used Milwaukee as the lightning rod. And, right. You know, conservatives all across the country, you know, knowing that Milwaukee is the Democratic city in the state of Wisconsin, they continue to just talk about it so bad that folks just say, I don't know if I'm going to go. I mean, the reports of Trump calling this a horrible city. And I think we've proven him wrong, right? I think that so many people came here and said, I had no clue, first and foremost, that it gets 90 degrees. The first day, it was 90 degrees. And then folks see that, I like to call Fresh Coast nice, that we brought to the table with our hospitality. When they see our foodie scene in the restaurants, because no matter where you come in the world, quite frankly, we have something to offer you. And so it's just a great opportunity.
Absolutely. All right, well, County Executive, thank you so much. David Crowley,
thank
we were
you.
Happy to have you on the
yes,
show whenever you'd like.
Come
I won't.
Back.
I won't. I will make sure that my team knows that I need to be back soon.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Well, I know you have some more rounds to go make, so
yes.
We will release you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Citing Unlimited News Time, 151, it's Spanning the State.
First hour of the final broadcast here at the Republican National Convention is almost in the books. It's been fun on Media Row. This is Spanning the State. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I'm Kristen Bry. And I had, I don't think I've talked about it on the show yet, but I got to talk to former Governor Tommy Thompson.
How'd that go?
Well, it's funny because, as I've established before, right, for most of my adult life, I lived elsewhere.
Right.
I left in 2003. To move to California, moved back in 2020. But when I was a kid, my dad actually worked on Tommy's, one of his campaigns. Maybe more than one, but at least one of his campaigns.
Okay.
And I had never actually met Tommy Thompson in person before. You know, I knew that he was gregarious and
sure.
charming and kind of this aura of who he is and how he knows everyone's name and everything. And so he's upstairs in Wisconsin Media Row, and I kind of wait my turn. He's talking to a different reporter to shake his hand, and I started with, do you remember the name Peter Bry? And he did.
Very good.
And he did, and so we're talking, and then he slips in, I never thought Peter Bry would have a daughter so beautiful. And it just
Whoa.
Totally caught me off guard. And then I come to find out that he's known for his compliments
really?
Of the ladies. Yes.
That's, well,
so I'm not special.
A smooth talker. Take the compliment when you can. After the news, of course, it is time for us to spin the state and so much more in the second hour of Spanning the State.
It's time to take a spin around Wisconsin and find stories you might have missed. This is WTMJ at the Republican National Convention. Now broadcasting live from Media Row at the Panther Arena inside the RNC. Here's Spinning the State on Spanning the State with Kristen Bry and Brian Noonan.
It's after two. That means it's time for us to spin the state. Are we really spinning a wheel, or is it all in your mind? You'll have to figure it out for yourself. But we go all over the state to find stories you might have missed. If you want to get more details, you can always text SPIN, S-P-I-N, to 855-616-1620. That is the WTMJ Talk and Text line. I'm going to say it, Kristen. Let's spin the wheel.
Spin that. Yep, there we go.
Madison.
All right. If you need to go to a hospital, try to make it one at the University of Wisconsin Hospitals, because U.S. News and World Report ranked the UW Hospitals as number one in Wisconsin on its best hospital list. UW Health CEO Dr. Alan Kaplan said the recognition reinforces the longstanding reputation for outstanding patient care, innovative therapies, and exceptional patient outcomes at UW Health. The UW Hospitals also received the highest ratings for 18 procedures and conditions impacting people over 65, and UW Hospitals also offer services that are not always available at other hospitals, which contributed to the high ranking. So I wonder if Fradert and Mayo have, like, what they have to say about that. Like, I don't know if, like,
there's
hospitals have, like, inner competition of, like, oh, we just missed it.
Oh, you know, there's been calls back and forth among the heads of the hospitals talking garbage.
Very
to each
disappointed
other
with our,
yes,
ranking.
Oh, how do you guys, who'd you pay off to get that high rating? All right, shall we spin again? Yes.
Milwaukee.
Well, it's been the hotbed of the RNC. A lot of important issues and stories have been coming out of this week's convention, but none hit harder in Brew City than the discussion of one local beer, Spotted Cow. Of course, you know that is a popular and delicious beer brewed by New Glarus. It made news the other day when a political reporter asked Senator Ron Johnson about the beer, and he said it was, quote, pretty good, but that the owner was ultra-liberal. Then the journalist Robert Evans said his takeaway was that Spotted Cow is an excellent beer, shocked at how good it is, end quote. Now the Journal Sentinel took to the streets and asked RNC visitors their opinion on the beer, which is the best-selling beer made by New Glarus. It accounts for 30% of the brewery's production last year. The verdict? People loved it. A visitor from Connecticut said it was unbelievable, delicious. Terry, an RNC attendee from Alabama, said it's in his top 10 favorite beers. He said, I love it. That sounds a tad better than pretty good, doesn't it, Senator Johnson? Yes, it does.
All right, let's spin it one more time.
DePere,
all right. If you visit DePere this summer, don't worry, your eyes aren't playing tricks on you. There really is a giant yellow dome outside the Mulva Cultural Center. Yes, the brightly colored geodesic dome isn't a copy of the Las Vegas Sphere. It is a sculpture titled Curious Planet. It was created by Danish Icelandic artist Olafur Eliasson.
Very nice.
The sculpture is being installed now and expected to be on view by late August. The piece is a globe of four layers of progressively more complex geometrical forms that expand exponentially from the core. I'm trying to imagine how this actually looks too. The layers are connected by bronze crossbars, and circular panes of blue glass float inside the structure. So there is also an irregular hexagonal fading mirrors foaming from forming some of the faces on the outermost layer. Sounds very trippy.
It does.
And so I'm assuming that there is a picture of this if people text spin.
There is. If they text spin, you will see it. It is right now. It is a giant yellow dome.
It's just a giant
as
yellow dome.
As
so it will be revealed once it is done. This is not what the
I think that's a cover. But then you will go in it and it sounds
look
crazy.
Around. All right.
Yeah, enjoy it. So yes, you can text spin SPIN to 855-616-1620. When we come back, we are going to talk to Peggy Williams Smith, president and CEO of Visit Milwaukee, to find out what she thinks of this week at the RNC. It's Spanning the State.
going to do it.
Well, yeah, I was going to let you introduce Peggy. Yeah, Spanning the State. You know where we're at. Media Row at RNC. And I'm Brian Ooner.
And I'm Kristen Bry, and we are sitting here with Peggy Williams-Smith, CEO and President of Visit Milwaukee, as we do our wrap. I guess it's not really a wrap because there's still like half a day. A lot of stuff's going to happen tonight.
A lot of stuff's going to happen.
But it's the last day we're here. Peggy, how are you feeling?
You know, it has been just overwhelming. It's been overwhelming to watch what's happened, to see it come to fruition. I actually just walked here with a guy who does, he wouldn't tell me his name because he does all the social media for President Trump.
Oh.
But he was looking for something and he kept asking people. I'm like, follow me. I know where you're going to go. So he was following me and he was saying how amazing the city has been, how friendly everyone has been. He's in contact with the family. The family is having a great time. So, you know, it's been amazing.
Yeah.
What do you think the biggest takeaway people, other than the friendliness, which we've heard too from everybody we've talked to, when people leave Milwaukee now, what do you think they're going to take with them that will entice them to come back?
So much. 1,400 acres of beachfront. We have amazing culinary scene. Yes, someone has sold over 3,000 pounds of cheese this week, but that's not the only thing we have. They've been able to experience different restaurants, different places, different hotels. And throughout the state, not just here. They've been all over. So I think what we've heard the most is we didn't get as much of a chance to get out as we'd like to. I think that everyone wanted to be on the convention show floor because of what happened last Saturday, which is a little different than previous conventions.
Okay.
So a lot of them are like, we're coming back. Some of them said, we're going to extend our stay and stay through the weekend, which is great.
Which is great.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting, because I think for a lot of us, this is our first convention. I think even though a lot of people I've talked to that are delegates or guests that are here, this is their first conference or convention. And that's an interesting point. So you've had feedback so far that how much people are in the FISERV is not typical of other conventions, because I have noticed even in the inside the security zone, people are over by FISERV a lot more than they are in and around Baird, in Panther Arena. And so that's atypical?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, this is my first convention as well, but what I've heard is, and I don't remember in my time watching conventions on TV that there was a time when the president or presidential nominee has been in the arena the entire week.
Yeah.
And I think that that's different, and I think that the respect that they want to give to their candidate means that they're going to be in the arena. On Monday, it was really unusual because they didn't break, and everyone kept saying that Trump was going to come and announce his vice presidential nominee. He didn't end up coming until that night, but no one had seen him since the assassination attempt. Right. So it was, you know, it was just everyone waiting in anticipation for him to come. So I think that is a little bit different. But I do think, you know, when the convention show floor lets out, I've walked the street every night after the opening party, every night, and it's been packed. Everyone files out into bars, into restaurants, or at parties, and there are so many private parties. So many private parties.
The only negative, because everything seems to be going very smoothly, the only negative that people are hearing is from some of the businesses outside the zone, that they anticipated more income, more business, crowds. What do you say to them?
You know, I mean, I wish. We do conventions all the time.
Sure.
And we can't mandate where attendees go. That's just not something we can do. We couldn't do that with this convention either. A lot of it is marketing yourself to the attendees. You know, I think Major Goolsbee's is doing a fabulous job. I know it's right here, but they've got someone outside as people are leaving the FISERV Forum saying, come on in, we've got specials, we've got this. You know, you need to market yourself just like you do for any other convention. We send out convention alerts. I got one today for a thing for Harley-Davidson, 100,000 people coming into the city. Are they going to talk to every news outlet for the entire week saying, I didn't get the business I thought I was going to see because the homecoming people didn't come to my restaurant? No. So, you know, we knew this was going to be huge economic impact. We knew not everyone was going to be busy. We knew that people would be on the convention floor from 5:45 to 10.
Right.
We said that every time we could, and that you need to market yourself. So, you know, I think that I'm sad that people aren't. You can get in and out of the Third Ward really easily.
Yeah.
So, you know, locals should come down and support the locally owned businesses.
So as far as beyond that, as far as who got business, who didn't get business, looking forward, What are some of the bigger lessons or takeaways from this week for Visit Milwaukee, or is it still too early to tell?
Well, I mean, I know that we've already, you know, we were able to see some of the events that are taking place around the convention that aren't necessarily in part of the convention. And we've already had sales leads out of this.
Okay,
so
nice.
We've had people who've said, I didn't realize your convention center was that big. Well, it wasn't until 3 months ago. But we can bring our meeting here. So we have two RFPs, which is amazing, because we, you know, we spend money to go to trade shows. We're actually missing one this week. This is the only one we're missing throughout the entire time of the RNC. But we know that people are interested in bringing their meetings here, and that's great. We know that our hotels have been full. We know that our hotels have had people in and out of them. We'll start to get that information next week to see what the STAR report looks like, so we can start to begin to measure the economic impact. And then we're going to work in conjunction with the host committee to do a full economic impact study that should be out within the next, say, you know, 90 days.
Great.
And Peggy, I don't know if you can answer this, but people who are waiting, maybe they work from home if they're downtown, mm-hmm. people, when will things be quote-unquote back to normal? When can people come back? By Monday? If people are driving in to go to work, we'll be ready to go?
No, this weekend.
This weekend, nice.
This weekend. No, like, the minute the VP and the presidential nominees leave, everything goes up.
Wow.
Everything goes up. So I would not, do not stay away this weekend.
Come
downtown.
In.
I mean, it's going to be busy because Northwestern Mutual has their annual convention, and that starts on Saturday.
Oh, that starts Saturday. There's Brady Fest this weekend, and then the following weekend is the big, crazy Milwaukee weekend when there's German Fest, there's the Harley-Davidson Homecoming, there's River West 24.
And Water Show.
Yeah, so there's still a lot going on. And so my final question before we let you go, because I know you have to go kick off Convention Fest. 2024, Visit Milwaukee, Top Chef, mm-hmm. RNC, how do you top that for 2025?
Well, I mean, we are doing a lot of industry events. Okay. So there are things that you may not see, but that we know put us on a stage with the people who are going to book business here.
Nice.
So that's really good. This was really overall, you know, we want that convention business, but this was a way for people to see. I mean, every time you're watching anything on TV, you're seeing Milwaukee. They're showing our skyline. They're showing the drone shot in. All of that is money that we would never be able to spend. So we have just marketed ourselves to the entire world for the last 5 days.
Perfect.
All right.
Well, thanks very much for taking time, Peggy.
Great.
I know it's very busy for you. Now you can go kick off Convention Fest. We appreciate it. Peggy Williams-Smith is the president and CEO of Visit Milwaukee. We will talk to you again, I'm sure.
Thanks, thank you.
It's Spanning the State.
It's Spanning the State. We are still live, still at the
You're
RNC, at the UWM Panther Arena on Media Row. I am Kristen Bry.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Big news, Kristen. Kid Rock has arrived in Milwaukee. He has landed. He will soon be on site. And we have that.
Well, now
just for the record,
joke that
Kid Rock was not my goal that I mentioned.
Kid Rock was not your goal.
No.
I had, you know, so I had said earlier in the week how we pulled one of my videos.
Yes.
And one of the jokes as far as Vegas odds of stuff that will or will not happen was, will one of the delegates have a meltdown when they realize the Fiserv serves Bud Light? Because that was a big deal 2 years ago.
Listen,
in 2022 when
Kid Rock
Bucks
shot
decided,
through
well, no, no,
oh,
that, that
oh,
was after.
The Bucks,
so
decide,
the Bucks decided not to re-sign with Miller,
right?
The hometown brew,
which is
and
crazy.
It's largely because Budweiser and Anheuser-Busch had they decided to meet what they were asking for.
Yeah.
So business is business, but you know people were appalled that they would have Bud Light in the
God forbid.
Pfizer, and then obviously 2023 happened for Bud Light,
right.
And it imploded for. You know,
it made Kid Rock very upset.
Made Kid Rock very upset. So
very
we'll find
upset.
Out if Kid Rock has a Bud Light at Fiserv.
I'm going to be carrying one around with me for the rest of the day, hopefully to offer Kid Rock a Bud Light. I hear he's changed. I don't know why I hear this.
Changed but from what?
That he's not. He'll drink Bud Light now.
Oh,
he's,
okay.
Sure he will. Because, you know, if they're going to pay him, he'll drink whatever. He's Kid Rock. I'm upset that Big Joe is not with him anymore. R.I.P. Pour one out for Big Joe. So he will not be traveling with Kid Rock today. You like my? You look honestly shocked that I had any deeper Kid Rock reference.
I'm impressed.
Don't be.
Speaking of other, how many wrestling references can you make as far as a special guest who will be here tonight?
I hope he. All right, you've blown it. That's the goal. The goal is today to get. Is for me to get Hulk Hogan. I wanted Hulkamania to run wild on Spanning the State. That's been the goal. I have our own Eric Bilstead is out beating the weeds for me, trying to get us Hulk Hogan, because I thought if he came in, he would just lift you over his head, and that would be a great shot.
You think he still can?
Yeah.
Is he like one of those?
Well, first of all,
he's got to be in his 60s or 70s, like 60s?
Yeah, but he's still all pumped up.
All
plus,
right.
you know, you're not weighing in at three bills.
That's
he
true.
Can, punch up over his head. I think you know, that'll be fine. But so Eric is out looking for Hulkamania. He's going to come in, brother. We're going to say our prayers, take our vitamins, and just be good little Hulkamaniacs. But I don't think that's my hunt. I don't care. Listen, if I see Donald Trump tonight, that's fantastic. I bump into one of the kids, terrific. If I see Hulk Hogan, I'm going to go nuts.
Oh, weak made.
Yeah, it's I could probably resign, but that's the goal for the day.
Were you a wrestling fan?
Back when I was younger, yeah,
okay.
I really liked.
Who were
wrestling.
Your guys?
Well, it was that era. It was when Hulk was a good guy in the WWE.
And not the heel.
Yeah, but he was still a babyface then. So like when he wrestled Andre the Giant and the Ultimate Warrior, that was my period. Like I always knew it was scripted. I was never one of those.
You liked the show.
I liked the show, and the athleticism can't be denied. Neither can ABC News or local headlines. They're coming up next. If you are into politics, we are definitely in the fast lane. It is Spanning the State, and we are at the RNC live in UW Panther Arena on Media Row. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I am Kristen Bry. And, of course, for all of the pomp and circumstance and the spectacle and the event of this, and as we talk about the economic impact of this, there is also all of this week is also leading to an election that is happening in November, an election that...
Oh, so there's a point to this
there
party?
There is a point to this, and if you don't know, Wisconsin's usually pretty important in these in these things called elections. The presidential election and the Electoral College runs through Wisconsin. We have a Senate race that is very tight right now. The 3rd Congressional District with Derek Van Orden is going to be a tight race. And also, for the first time in 12 years... the Wisconsin legislature, especially the assembly, could be up for grabs. And so there is a lot at stake as far as how this week is impacting the election this fall. And no better person to talk about all of that with than Barry Burden, professor of political science at UW-Madison and founding director of the Elections Research Center. Welcome to the show, Barry.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
We ran into each other on Monday, and I didn't know that you were going to be here, and so I'm happy that by the end of the week we got you on, because truly you were probably the best person to talk to is what this week means for November,
right,
for Wisconsin.
The convention was placed in Wisconsin because they want to have an impact on Wisconsin,
exactly.
and the Dems tried to do this 4 years ago. I've been surprised how little attention there has been given to Wisconsin in the speeches each night. I mean, those could happen anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the audience is the nation, not what's happening here. But I think there's going to be a big impact here. I mean, Biden and the Democrats are in serious trouble at the moment.
It's not been a good month.
It's been rough, sort of culminating in the COVID diagnosis last night. Republicans are euphoric. They are united. They've got their act together. They have a leader that they are 100% behind.
Yep.
I've not seen this kind of unity before at a convention. It's not really much of a party. It's really a Trump organization that is functioning really smoothly at the moment and has everything going for it. Now, there's 3 or 4 months left until Election Day. There'll probably be another debate. We've got a Democratic convention to go to. We've got Olympics in Paris in between. So things will happen. But I think, you know, the way it affects Wisconsin most is probably the U.S. Senate race, besides obviously the presidential race. We're a battleground and will be one of the contributing states to the Electoral College outcome. Biden's in real trouble in Wisconsin at the moment.
Well, let's go to that Senate race.
Yeah.
Since you mentioned it, what do you think the impact is going to be? We've seen, We've seen Eric Hovde around here. He's working the room. He's working the buildings.
I saw him. He spoke on Tuesday.
Sure did.
How do you think that helps him? How do you think that race will be affected?
So Hovde's doing his introduction, basically, to Republicans around the country, and I think that will help his fundraising.
Yeah.
That's why that's a real benefit of being in this network for these days. I think it will cause Tammy Baldwin to run even more of an independent campaign. She has always done that. She has her own operation. She's a very effective Democratic candidate, maybe the best Democratic candidate in Wisconsin. She has a kind of special sauce that other Democrats have tried to learn from and emulate, and I think the troubles that Biden is having at the top of the ticket give her more incentive to just run her own race.
To not show up when he comes to town.
She doesn't need to be there with him. She needs to go into rural communities where she has overperformed other Democrats, continue to do that, continue to raise money, and just her sort of careful, methodical approach to building an election machine she's so good at. So I think it's an extra incentive for her to just continue to do her own thing.
Because do you think there'll be a spike in the next round of polling for Hovde after this week?
Certainly for Trump in Wisconsin. And if she's lucky, she can insulate herself from it moving down the ballots. But Hovde now is now better known. He's going to get an influx of cash, I think, from the connections he's making here. You know, he's not been on the air a lot. I think he's an unknown quantity to a lot of voters in Wisconsin. So we've got time for that race to mature over the next few weeks. But I think she's going to double down on the strategy of her being the Baldwin campaign. It's not going to be a unified Democratic, you know, integrated campaign, I think, up and down the ballot as long as there's turmoil at the top.
What do you think the impact of J.D. Vance's pick is going to have on Wisconsin voters? Do you think they'll see this as cementing that platform, or does it take away a little bit?
Well, we will see Vance in Wisconsin, that's for sure. I think it helps cement the connection between Trump and rural white voters.
Okay.
Right, the story that J.D. Vance can tell about his upbringing in rural Ohio and Kentucky, he can go into those rural communities and do smaller events. Trump can't do a small, Biden can't do a big event, and Trump can't do a small event. Trump has to have 1,000 people minimum to appear, and Biden doesn't want 1,000 people. So very different kinds of things. But J.D. Vance can go into a gymnasium of 100 people or talk at a school or something else and bounce around to rural communities in the state, I think, really effectively. And then Trump can fly into Wausau or Racine and, you know, do a fairgrounds kind of thing. So they've got, I think, different assets that will work well in a state like Wisconsin.
Have you been surprised with the lack of the A word this week, being A word being abortion? Mm. And I was waiting to see if J.D. Vance would allude to it at all, because he is probably, arguably, one of the most anti-abortion senators. Did not mention it. No one has mentioned it. Thoughts?
It's completely absent here as an issue. It's an integral part of what Republicans believe. They want to protect the unborn, as they would say. Mm-hmm. It's been in every Republican platform as long as we can remember. And it's often decided who wins the nomination on the Republican side. You know, a pro-choice Republican candidate could not be the nominee after about the 1970s or 1980s. Yeah. So we know where Republicans stand on the issue, but they're extremely quiet about it. Even just walking the grounds here around the convention, you don't see pro-life groups. There aren't kind of religious organizations here talking about the culture of life in the way they would have during the Bush years or later. It will come back in the fall election. This is one of the assets the Democrats still have, is abortion is an energizing issue for them. And I think back on the J.D. Vance discussion, because he's taken pretty harsh positions on abortion, and Kamala Harris has been carrying the abortion issue for the Biden campaign. If she's still the vice presidential running mate and they end up in a debate together, you can be sure that she will draw a contrast on abortion, and Democrats will continue to hammer Vance on his past statements about Trump generally, but about abortion specifically. Yeah.
Were you surprised at all? Because there has been some pushback from a lot of Republicans that the platform on abortion and pro-rights was too soft. So do you see the official platform changing at all as we get closer to November?
I think the platform is locked. That was done in a very efficient process that kept most of the delegates out of the process. So they were intentional about the wording. There is this reference to the 14th Amendment, which is sort of a dog whistle to conservatives in the movement who understand that's a kind of personhood idea that might allow them to ban abortion nationally or state by state or something else. So there's sort of a wink at that movement, but without the A word being said in the same way. So I don't know. There are definitely others in the party who expect if Trump is elected president, he will approve, he will nominate only pro-life justices and judges at the federal level. And he might get a couple more justices. I mean, he could be a president who, after two terms, has appointed five, six justices.
It's wild.
Nothing like that in American history.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Barry, as always, your insight is very, very valuable. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Yeah, this is fun.
Thanks for being here.
Barry Burton is the professor of political science at UW-Madison and founding director of the Elections Research Center. It's Spanning the State.
I believe it's time for me to fly.
Indeed, indeed. It's time for us to fly. Let's fly for one last segment on the floor of the UWM Panther Arena on Media Row at the RNC. I am Kristen Bry.
And I'm Brian Noonan. If you now, I've heard, and I was talking to John Mercure earlier, and he said he's covered a Super Bowl, and Media Row is kind of like this for a Super Bowl, where they just march everybody around and you kind of do this. Would you, and I think I know the answer to this, would you rather do a political Media Row or a sports Media Row?
Like host it?
No, like be here.
Like do our show.
Like do our show from?
I don't know. That's actually, I mean, I think I know, but I like sports. I don't intimately know sports, right? Like if we were doing Super Bowl, I would probably be able to recognize who's a football player or who's just because
they're giants.
Their bodies.
Yes.
It's like, as basketball players, you're like, oh, you're 6'9". Like, you probably play a sport. But I wouldn't know. I don't know. This is why I'm not good at fantasy football.
Yeah.
My fantasy football team is almost always entirely run by either my husband or my best friend.
Okay.
And so I feel like I would be enjoy myself. I'd know less.
Yeah.
Here, I feel like I'm enjoying myself because I can contribute
well, there's,
to the
yeah, and I wonder if it'd be different if, like, being in Wisconsin doing this
even more so is different
is
than
you.
If we
yeah,
were in if we flew to do this in Utah,
right, it'd be different.
It'd be a totally different game.
Well, it's been very exciting. Do you have any big thoughts, big takeaways from the week?
I'm still working them out. I've been trying to write down my reflections as I'm having them. I think I had no idea really what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and I mean. And I don't mean to say that as a surprised as I, like, oh, my God, I can have fun with Republican. You know, but it's not that so much as the energy level. I'm an extrovert, so I like meeting people. I like being out talking to people. I like hearing other people's experiences. And so less so talking to the politicians who are making their rounds, but actually getting to talk to people who are here as delegates or guests. And their experience, why they're excited to be here, why they're excited, what they've done in Milwaukee. Like, those conversations fuel me. And so I think I'm actually, my social battery is probably a lot higher coming into the end of the week, where I'm excited to go out after we wrap our show now and talk to some more people. So in general, I'm feeling good about the job that we've done.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good about our show and the content that we put out and how we've covered this. So I don't know. I have probably deeper thoughts I'll get into, but I need to find the way to articulate them better.
Yes. Well, for me, it's obviously not my party. It's like going to your friend's house whose team has won the championship. And you're like, oh, I can be happy for my friends, but it's not really my thing. So I came in strictly as an observer and trying to put on a different hat. Because normally, up until this point, I've been mostly just giving my opinions on things. That's what I've done in this. I haven't been a quote-unquote journalist. So to put on that hat and try to maintain sort of a distance from the message that's being delivered while still being open enough, like you said, to talk to people, which, other than being very nervous meeting Martha Raddatz, when I was talking to everyday folks, it was great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. And we took a little grief, both of us, from people on social media going, well, how could you have fun, or how could you say this is exciting? Maybe, call me a sucker if you want, this is a part of American history. This is what democracy is supposed to be. People from all over this country come together, they nominate their candidate to run for president. I may not be, you know, supportive of this guy, but I can watch the people who are truly filled with energy and joy, and I can watch them and appreciate it. Well, I don't have to be a part of it. I can look at it and go, no matter what happens, I was here. I got to see it. I got to experience it. I got to be on the floor when delegates were coming in. I got to watch them get whipped into a frenzy just because, like anybody at the start of a concert, you know, the excitement is up and they can't wait to see what happens. So it has been exciting. It has been fun. It's been challenging. And I agree with you about the stuff we've been doing. I look forward to walking around later today and seeing what else we can come away with.
All right. So one goal. We did not get Hulk Hogan at the end of the show. You're going to go look for him.
I'm looking for him. He'll be easy to spot.
Did you make a decision on whether or not you're going to watch Donald Trump tonight?
I will let everybody know tomorrow. I'm going to watch. I'm watching him. Will I watch him in person or will I watch him from my recliner? That is the question.
All right. Well, I trust that the show is in good hands.
Thank you. Have a good couple days off.
Yes, I'll be back on Tuesday, but I can't wait to listen in remotely.
Why would you listen when you're off?
I don't know.
All right.
I can't let it go.
Who was here today that we should thank?
We should thank Peggy Williams-Smith from Visit Milwaukee. We should thank Allison Prangy from the host committee, Barry Burden from UW Madison, and David Crowley.
Wow, this show was packed.
County executive.
Always go to WTMJ.com, spanning the state page, and listen, because I know you missed some of this, and that is at your peril. All right, have a great weekend. Well, you have a great weekend. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Wisconsin's Afternoon News is next. It's Spanning the State.